We will once again be in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. I'm going to read the same text that we had last week because we are finishing up our series on Lindsay Lane Missionary Baptist Church mission statement. And if you don't know exactly what that is, you'll find that in the flyer that you'll see laying on the greeter's table as you come into the foyer. And inside that, it gives you a full description and definition of our mission statement. We want you to know, as a member of Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, or maybe you're visiting and you're just getting familiar with Lindsay Lane, what is it that we are about as a church? What is it that is our purpose? What is our goal? Well, first of all, we want to see anyone and everyone that comes through those doors to come into a personal relationship by knowing Christ. Not just knowing about Him, but personally knowing Him in their life and understanding who He is. And how do we grow in that knowledge and understanding of who He is? We do so in His Word. The proclaimed Word of God, the canon of Scriptures we call the Bible. We search it, we study it, we memorize it so that we might know who He is and what His purpose is for our lives. Secondly, we also want people, as members of Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, we want you to know that we want you to live out that faith, right? We want to live that faith out loud. And living for Christ is that process of sanctification. We allow God working in and through us to make us who He wants us to be, but all we are becoming more and more like Christ. And that is the working of the Holy Spirit in and through us. And by daily choices, one decision at a time, we either follow the Spirit or we follow our own way. And by that process of sanctification, the Spirit reminds us that we can follow Christ, we can serve Him, and we can say no to sin. Amen? We are free. We've been set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, knowing, living, and then sharing Christ. Last week we talked about evangelism. We talked about that we must go. We must take the message of Christ to them. Lost people don't go to church, do they? They avoid it many times. Oh, they may visit once in a while, but they're not going to comprehend what we're doing here until they know the Lord Jesus. So it's up to us as the Lord's church, as believers, to take Christ to them where they go. And that's what simply it is that when we read in the Great Commission, it says, "Go ye therefore," it's actually saying, as you are going, make disciples. And so we know in order before a person could become a disciple, they must first know who Jesus is by salvation, by placing their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus and Jesus alone, that they may receive salvation, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life. Are you with me, church? Okay, that was my review. You ready for the message now? All right. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Let me share with you those verses. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son Jesus and the price that He had paid on the cross, that we might be your servants, that we might have salvation, that we may grow in a personal relationship with you. But Lord, teach us how to be disciples. Help us to be followers of you. Help us not just to proclaim you, but help us to follow you and obey you. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for giving us this beautiful church home as we gather together and as we worship your name. But may we also, as your church, be scattered out into this mission field that we may take Christ to those who need to hear and those who need to know you. Lord, thank you. Guide us in your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to focus on one specific thought. I want us to focus on the reality that Jesus has called us to not make other Christians, but to make disciples. I think that there is probably a disconnect of our true understanding of what a disciple is, as opposed to just being, quote unquote, a Christian. Being a Christian, so often people will proclaim that they know Jesus, they'll claim that they know him, but yet are not a disciple. And you're going to see the difference here in just a minute, that when we examine exactly what is a disciple, well, in the Great Commission, I want to review once again, the Great Commission is simply an authorization that God has given to his church, that he has mandated and given them authority to go and continue the ministry that he has started. Now, when we see this, we were reminded from last week that we see even the examples in government that the Senate or the House can appoint an individual, but it's the president that actually authoritatively commissions them to go. So they don't really receive the authority and the backing of the United States until the president gives that and grants that. So when Jesus, when he says that I send you out, he reminded, he prefaced it with that, is that I have all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. So he's not sending us out on our power, our ability, our understanding, but we go with the power of Christ, his authority. So therefore, if we're going to be his representatives, if we're going to be ambassadors of Christ, then we need to know who it is that's sending us. Amen? We need to understand the mandate that he has given us. We must understand the mission that he has given so that we will carry out that mission and not our own. Are you with me, church? So last week we talked about the biggest part, a big part of that mission is that we evangelize. We take Christ to them. Well, now I want us to talk about this week is that Jesus tells his disciples to go and make other disciples. Folks, we often look at the book of Acts. We see the church growing, multiplying by thousands. We see people coming by the droves. Folks, we were seeing the Lord's church doing exactly what Jesus had commissioned his church to do, to go and make disciples. They didn't wait for the pastor to go. They didn't wait for the pastor to organize a going. He didn't wait for the pastor to tell them where to go. They simply had the message. They had the Lord Jesus. They had the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and they took it as they went. Their mission field was where they went to school at. Their mission field was where they worked at. Their mission field was where they lived at. Everywhere they went was a mission field. And if we don't get our minds around that, we're not going to understand the Great Commission. It is, as you go, make disciples. Now, the reality is that sometimes we stop and think that, well, oh, Pastor, I haven't been trained in all of that. Do you know the Lord Jesus? If you do, you have a testimony. If you have a testimony, you have a story. Did you accept the Lord Jesus? Did you repent of your sin? Did you finally lay aside all of your excuses? Did you finally lay aside of all the things that you were trying to hide and reveal them to the Lord? And did you call upon his name knowing that he will forgive and love and he's paid for your sin debt? And you know that's enough? Did you call upon him? Did he answer your prayer? Yes. You know how to lead someone to Christ, folks. Well, Pastor, I don't know all the verses that I need to know. Do you know John 3:16? Folks, I'm telling you, God has made it simple. We are without excuse. We are without excuse as a child of God. But now let's go a step farther. What is a disciple? Well, I'm so glad you asked me that. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who is continuously learning and lives out the teachings of Jesus. The goal is to know Christ and to make him known. Now, this entails, obviously, the reading of the Scriptures, the obeying of what we read and that he's convicting our hearts of, spending time with other believers, worshiping together, loving others, telling them about Christ. Discipleship is a process by which a disciples grow in their relationship with Jesus and make others know him. You know, when we look at this, the actual definition of a disciple is that he's not just a student, he's not just a learner, but he is a follower. Are you with me? When we follow, it requires action. When you come and as a learner, we can be passive, can't we? When we learn and we grow in knowledge and we learn something new and, oh, Pastor, tell me something that I don't know. Tell me something that is exciting that I've never heard before. We can be very passive because we just grow in knowledge and grow in knowledge, but never really use it, never really put it to use so that others may benefit from what we have learned. But a disciple understands that when he's called as a disciple, he's to go with that knowledge, with that mandate, with that calling. And so he acts upon that by following Jesus. That requires a life of obedience. It requires a life of faithfulness. Now, Jesus' followers were called disciples long before they were ever called Christians. In fact, it was the unbelievers that called us Christians, not us, not Christ. Christ referred to us as disciples. Why? Because he called us to follow him. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, what? One more time. Follow me. So he arose and he followed him. Now some of you may think that, well, that's kind of odd. Was he expecting it? Was he waiting for it? No, he was taught. He was taught as a young man that when the Messiah comes, when the Savior comes and he calls upon you, you follow him. Amen? Often we get confused in our time and day and age today is that, well, if I just call myself a Christian and I show up to church once in a while, then therefore I'm a disciple. But yet by the biblical definition, we haven't quite grown into discipleship yet. Amen? We can be a Christian, we could call upon the Savior, but yet we must grow in being a disciple. We must live out being a disciple. And in fact, Jesus reminds us that it comes with great cost to follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, it says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So now he's setting stipulations. So if I just call myself a disciple and, I'll serve him when I want to, or I'll part-time it, or, you know, when things are going good, we'll show up to church. But when it's bad, well, you're just going to have to understand we can't be there. Now, that sounds like a lot of excuses, doesn't it? But excuses doesn't constitute a disciple, does it? The disciple has already, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said that before they went into the promised land. He said that before they went in. He said that after we heard the rehearsing of the law and all that God had required of them as a nation of Israel, this is what you will do. This is who you will be. You will satisfy me. And so Joshua said, I'm not making excuses. I'm not making any plans, but I'm making plans for faithfulness. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't have all the understanding of all the things that they're going to fight and have struggles with and difficulties. He didn't know how all of those battles would happen, but yet he made up his mind, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what a disciple does. A Christian just calls themselves a child of God by name, but yet a disciple says, I've made a decision, no matter the cost, whatever the cost, we will pay it. Because we will follow Jesus. Are you with me, church? All right. You don't sound as excited about this as I am. Honestly, it is exciting because I feel like I finally got a handle on the answer to all of those that keep telling me, oh yeah, I know about Jesus. Yeah, I've heard about Jesus. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, how can I break through those excuses that are keeping them from knowing you, more than that, experiencing you, and more than that, having you in their lives. They're putting up a facade. They're putting up a banner and saying, well, yeah, I know about Jesus. And so then I ask them, well, that's wonderful. You know him. Do you serve him? Well, you know, I don't exactly go to church. Oh, do you love him? Oh, yeah, I love him. So then do you sacrifice for him? Well, what do you mean sacrifice? What does that mean? And very quickly I begin to realize, as I'm thinking, well, Lord, where is that disconnect? Why are we not, they say they're a Christian, why are we not connecting? It's because sometimes as Christians they carry it as a label, but yet when you talk to a disciple, they are. Do you get that? They carry it as a label, but they really don't have him. But a disciple has him, and they are. Now here's something I want to remind you of. Brother Mike Hurst, pastor at Westview in Jeff City, he used this phrase, as believers, we must do what we can do, but we cannot do what must be done. As a disciple, we must do all that we can. We'll sacrifice anything, we lay down anything, we make ourselves available to the Lord. We must do all that we can do, but we cannot do what must be done. We cannot change hearts. We cannot change minds. We cannot shape lives. Only God can do that. And you know what? In all honesty, we can't shape our own lives. We sometimes can't change our own minds. We can't change our own hearts. But God can, and God does. Are you with me, disciples? We're seeing the difference now. Now we're seeing the distinction that Jesus was giving is that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, what does that entail? Well, if we take up the same cross that Jesus did, we know exactly what that means, doesn't it? We say no to self, we say yes to Jesus. So what does that look like? It looks like obedience. It looks like faithfulness. It looks like a daily sacrifice. It looks like followers of Christ. We live like him. We live for him. And we live through him. How do I know if I'm a disciple of Christ? I'm going to pick on you, okay? I want you to know. I'm telling you, this can be the turning point of you claiming something or actually living something. It could be the difference of you hearing about what God can do in your life and actually experiencing all that he can do in your life. Are you with me? How can I know that I'm a disciple? First of all, you have to be one who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus. John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You know why in John 3:16 said he calls it a gift? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That gift, it's given. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the privilege, the authority to be the sons of God, the children of God. He gives that. So folks, when you talk to those that are lost and they're like, yeah, I'm trying to get to heaven, I'm trying to do good, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to accomplish this, then we need to automatically say, you can't do it. You can't do it. You won't do it. You won't make it. Like, whoa, you don't know me. You can't judge me. No, I can't, but Jesus has, right? He's already told us the stipulation. He's already given us a standard. You can't make it, but yet he can make you a child of God. And then you know, amen? Then you know it's out of your hands, but it's in his eternal hands that we become a child of God, amen? You've got to know. And then secondly, one that has been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now you know, Nicodemus thought he was talking about being born again physically. But that wasn't what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual birth. Folks, there's so many people that's trying to be Christian, but yet they don't have the empowering of the Spirit of God within him. John or Paul said in the book of Romans, said, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit of God within you, then you are not a child of God. That sounds very stern, doesn't it? But folks, these things are written so that you will know that you can know that you have eternal life. And if you feel convicted, you feel condemned, then you and I, we need to talk. You need to talk to the Lord and say, God, I don't feel that confidence. Will you show me? And I'm telling you, He will. He will. When you make it right, you know, you don't need anyone else to convince you that you're right. The Lord Jesus will testify with your spirit through the Spirit of God. Have you been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit? And then thirdly, one who belongs to Christ is daily being transformed into the likeness of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We have been left here to grow and to become more like Christ. Folks, you can't be more like Christ just having a head knowledge of Him. You become more like Him as you follow Him, as you walk in His steps, as you follow, as He guides you into deeper obedience and a deeper love for Him. You begin to realize who Jesus truly is when you stand on the edge of temptation, you stand on the edge of sacrifice, and you take the same steps that He has called you to take. Are we disciple makers? Now that we understand what a disciple is, are we disciple makers? He calls us in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It was the Lord's choice to use disciples to spread the message, dedicated and obedient to the Lord Jesus, His purpose, His message, and His mission, that we would go and make other disciples. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus understood the power of multiplication. Folks, when you just have one or two in the church, in the body of Christ, going and witnessing, the growth is going to be minimal. But if all the members of that body understand the mission, comprehend the mission, know how to accomplish that mission, go and fulfill that mission, we're going to see a strong growth. Too often, churches think that we have to follow different models, different ideas, different fads, if you will, thinking that's going to bring growth. The Lord Jesus has already told us how He's going to build His kingdom. He's told us how to build His church. So it's not so much that we don't have a process that doesn't work. My asking is, have we as the Lord's church followed His process? Are we making disciples? You know what, folks? It's so much easier to come and to grow as a learner and just gaining knowledge and gaining understanding. I want to learn something new. But it's terrifying to be called out and said, let's go knock on some doors and talk to some people. I'm not so much sure I'm ready for that. Does that mean you're not intellectually ready, or you're just not ready to be faithful? I'm not picking on you. I'm asking you. Is it a lack of ability that you've sat in church and you've been taught and instructed by many teachers, many pastors? Are you not going because you don't know, or you're not ready to be faithful? A disciple says, I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to go. I'm going to follow. And folks, if you're saying that you're following Jesus, Jesus doesn't sit in one place. Are you with me? He went, He came, and He went to the cross. He showed us every step of the way what was required perfectly. So if you're truly a follower of Jesus, we're not going to be sitting. We're going to be going. Amen? During His 3 years of ministry, Jesus was making disciples. He was teaching and instructing them how to testify of Him, and His influence upon these men's lives sent them out as disciples was so great that we see in Acts 17, verse 6, the unbelievers, the Jews that wanted to reject Jesus, said that these men have turned the world upside down. How is it they turned the world upside down? Oh, these were influential people. These were intelligent people. Oh, these people had great personalities. No to all of that. Do you remember how we go? We don't go in our own power. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now I'm sending you. I'm commissioning you. We don't go in our own power. We go in his power. Folks, things will happen when we go in his power. Not your idea, not my idea. We follow the perfect plan that has already been laid out before us. And so we follow. We're instructed. And we instruct new believers. When we live, when we win that one to Christ, when we win that one that follows the Lord Jesus, discipleship has just begun. Our job has not ended. It has just begun. When you lead that one to Christ, then you begin to work in their lives. You begin to share with them in the scriptures. You begin to share with them and draw them into the church body. We begin to share with them how to follow the Lord Jesus in baptism, as the Lord has given us to commission us to do. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that authority rests not within the pastor, but it rests within the church. Church, you have the authority to baptize, not me. That's why we come before you each time we have a baptism and we share. This individual wants to join the church. The individual professes the Lord Jesus and shares that they know the Lord Jesus and they're going to follow the Lord Jesus. And then you as a church, what is your pleasure? I make a motion that we accept this candidate upon the baptism and following Lord Jesus in baptism. We accept them as a member of Lindsay Lane. Why? Because you have the authority who give it to you. Jesus did. Are you with me? Sometimes you'll see pastors come and go. Oh, does that mean I'm not a member anymore? Does that mean I'm not a Christian no more? No. Praise the Lord that our faith doesn't rest upon those things that are changing and failing, but it rests upon the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that will never fail, never change. Amen? Are you seeing the strength that we can go in? Do you see the dismissal of all of our excuses that we've used for so many years? Can you see what a tragedy it is to sit in a pew and just want to be a learner but never truly take the steps to be a disciple? Oh, you got quiet on me. You know why? That's the dividing line. That's the dividing line. Do you realize that there were many that were following Jesus in his ministry and it come to a place that they stopped following because his teaching was so strict. His teaching was so powerful that many stopped following. So he turned to the 12. He says, will you also stop following me? Peter spoke up and said, no. Where else can we go? Who else has the words of life? And then he reveals that that was the Lord speaking, not you. Why is that? Because Jesus reveals to us, the Spirit of God reveals to us what we need to be doing. The question is not, the mission is not there. The instruction is not there. Are there feet to the mission of Lindsay Lane Baptist Church today? What is our purpose in this? Number three, healthy disciples make healthy churches. We all want our churches to be thriving. We all want our church to be growing. We all want our church to be reaching our community. Amen? All right, I think we can all agree on that. So who are you looking to make that happen? That's the question. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now when you look into the text here, we realize that it wasn't just the 11 that were there. There were many disciples. People think that, well, when you talk about disciples, there's only 12. Well, Judas, he betrayed, and then Matthias was voted in to be in his place in the book of Acts. So they got back to 12. But that wasn't just 12 disciples. There were thousands of disciples. So there were many that were following Jesus at that time. But yet they were all growing in different places, you understand? They were all there and they were worshiping, but some doubted. Some were still weak in the faith. Some were still getting the concept of what it was to be not just a Christian, but to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of his. And so, folks, we find that in our churches today. We find that there are some that, yeah, you know, Pastor, I'll go with you to this point, but point three, now you're just meddling. I'm not going to go there. We're not going to talk about that. But yet, the Lord's convicting you of it. So maybe you just need to talk to Him about it. Amen? Maybe you need to have a time with Him. Folks, I'm telling you, He won't disappoint you. He won't fail you. He won't set you up for failure. He has set us up for success. Not the success that you and I may define, but the success that He has defined. Do you remember, as we talked about, when we as a church understand our mission, we understand our purpose, then it begins to define for us how that we will live financially. It will define for us what is our purpose as a church. It will define for us what is a win at the end of life because we understand the mission. When we get our heads around those things, we begin to realize we're not giving anything up, but we're gaining Christ in every area of our life. We're gaining the blessings and the eternal reward that when we look back, we'll say, I never could have accomplished that, but God did because we were following Him in places that we didn't want to go. But yet He led us to places of victory, humility, strength, fearful dread, but yet delivers us in mighty ways. That just the same way that He led Israel into many battles. Remember Gideon? Too many men. You need to get rid of them. Tell them if there's anybody scared, go home. Whew, that's a big chunk. And He said, okay, now go over and have them drink. You know, all these different ways of drinking. Huh? Send those home, but keep these. He's down to about 300-something men. They say, okay, now we're going to go into battle. Why are you doing this? So that Israel will not say that we won this battle ourselves. But they will know that the God of Israel won this battle today. Folks, He's still teaching us the same thing. As Christians, sometimes we carry a label, and we want the label to look good. We want to shine it up and look real good. So it's everything that I'm trying to do to keep that label on and looking good. But in reality is, as a disciple, we have sold out for Christ. Whatever I look like, whatever I sound like, I am the Lord's, and I'm here for His business and His purpose. Lord, use me for whatever You have and desire. And then we follow Him. Oh, He leads us down some scary paths, right? But when we follow Him, we see Him act in a way that we could never plan on our own. Church, we need to follow the Lord and allow Him to act in a way that we have not even conceived. But we have to follow Him. We have to follow His plan and purpose. We have to get our minds around the mission and understand that we must fulfill that mission. And without feet, we're just learners sitting in a classroom. But when we put feet to what He has given us, we now become followers of Christ. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, all those excuses that we have. Oh, I don't know how to do this, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say it. You know, many people say that, you know, Pastor, you do such a good job of talking. Number one, I'd rather be on the back row, quiet, and let you do the talking. But you won't do it, so I have to, okay? I'm saying that facetiously and jokingly. But you don't know all the devotionals that Moselle Missionary Baptist Church had to sit through and listen to in order for me to get to a point that I could string one thought or two thoughts together. It all starts with a step of faithfulness. Amen? I'm asking you, church, can you take whatever the Lord is convicting you of today, whatever it is that got on your toes today, can you take one step with me as a church, a step toward following the Lord Jesus in His mission that He has called us to? James 1, 5, 8. I'm going to read it again. Well, I haven't read it once yet, have I? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know, when we listen to what James is talking about here, if we don't understand what a disciple really is, you're just going to kind of brush over this and say, yeah, you know, I'll just come to God and get whatever I need, and I'll go do what I want to do. And many do that. Many try that. And then they come back of, well, I just don't like organized religion. I just don't like churches. And we find all of these things wrong with the church. When in reality, it's not the church problem. It's those that are not disciples that cause problems. Are you with me? Those that wear a banner that we claim to be a Christian, but yet we don't know the Lord Jesus, that's where many of the problems come. And they say, I've tried religion. Well, you've tried religion, but you haven't come to know Jesus. Because in this, the acting of faith is a turning over of someone sitting on the throne. Many times we want to sit on the throne of my own life. I want to call the shots. I want to do what I want to do. I want to make sure that my life is going in a direction that's going to gain me what I want or want to accomplish, right? And in that, we sit on the throne. But when we become a disciple of Christ, when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we remove ourselves from the throne and say, God, you deserve to sit on the throne of my life. We take a knee and we say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm here to serve. Do you remember the many of the times that Paul would say, I, the bondservant of Christ, write to you. What does that mean? He is a servant. He's a slave to Lord Jesus. That is the description. That is the language of discipleship. Becoming his completely. But many say that, well, I've tried all that. But yet they didn't follow. Because there are promises to those who will truly follow in faith. Let me read our doctrinal statement. Why is it that we teach this? In Scripture, it gives us the doctrinal founding that we stand upon and that we serve in. The ministry of the church. Her mission is evangelizing sinners by preaching the gospel, baptizing those who believe, and maturing them by instruction and discipline. So are we making disciples, church? We understand what a disciple is, so I'm going to ask you first, are you a Christian or are you a disciple today? The only way that you can change that is by coming to Lord Jesus as your Savior and surrendering your life to Him. I want to ask you, are you preparing? If you are a disciple, are you preparing to make disciples? We always have excuses, but you know what? We can remedy those excuses today. Amen? We can remedy in giving you the tools that you need, whether spiritual or physical tools, to learn how to speak and share and give those things words of truth to those that are lost. Are you preparing to make disciples? And then, church, can we truly say that we're faithful in making disciples here in Florissant? I asked you, are you willing to take that one step with me? Many of you said yes. So let's do that together. Amen.